Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? This is PLR Happy Monday to you. Hopefully everyone had a really good weekend. Everyone is saying there's no good games. Well, did you really get one yesterday? Or did you get a good ending? We will get into that a little bit later. Like I said, this is Courtside with PLR. And you are with PLR. We're definitely going to get into the Cleveland game from yesterday. Sorry, Boston fans, it's still not your game. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk a little bit of Warriors Spurs as they play tonight in the final game of that series. Talk about some free agency news. It's that time of year. And I want to bring up a couple of people that are out there, and I want to ask you, who would be a good fit for them? Like I said, this is Courtside. You're Courtside with PLR, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located out here in Chandler, Arizona, right on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take care of you by giving you 10% off of any of your cigar purchases. So let's just jump right in. Let's talk about it last night. The Cavaliers all set to go up 3-0. All set to prove me right with the three-game sweep. Built a 16-point lead at halftime. Stretched that bad boy out to 21. Kevin Love was losing his mind in the first half, hitting every three-pointer he put up. And something happened on the way to a 3-0 series lead, on the way to equaling what Golden State's doing on the other side of the world, well, Texas. And a funny thing happened along the way. The Boston Celtics made a ferocious run. Cleveland, who was sizzling hot in the first half with three-pointers, came back down to earth. I think they were 2 of 17 in the second half, and they messed around and they got caught. Isaiah Thomas did not play, so they got caught by Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, Jonas Jerebko, and some other cats that were on the floor. That's right. The Cleveland Cavaliers, your 1927 Yankees, as I heard a lot from one of my, my people I like a lot on the four letter. I cannot believe the Cavs blew that lead, especially at home. And before people start saying this, let's go ahead and get this cleared up, because I've heard a couple idiots today. Well, Boston's better off without Isaiah Thomas, it looks like. No. Boston is out of the playoffs if there's no Isaiah Thomas. This is a one-game come-up, and it may be a matchup issue. Listen, without Isaiah Thomas, everyone now knows that they have a different job to do. They're playing a little bit of a different role, but they all have a different job to do, and that's to be a little bit more open and loose. Listen, you're going into game three against the Cavaliers in their building without your player in your building by 112 and by 111. What do you have to lose? You are loose. Every shot is a free shot. It's loose. There's no pressure. No one expects you to come back and win this series. No one right now even expected you to win one game. What do you have to lose? So you come in there, you lose, you have a really good coach, players play hard for him, play good defense for him, even though you couldn't tell that in the first two games, and you're playing a team that may be just a little bit fat right now. They just came into your building and beat you by a combined 100 and 225 points. They're ready. They're going to take you out. This game isn't a game that's played to win. This game is a formality because the NBA said you got to win the first 4 out of 7, and you can't throw in a towel. So this game is really just a formality. And then you come out, and Kevin Love is on fire. He's throwing them up. They going down. A couple of them didn't even touch the rim. Just pretty shots. So now you're really full of yourself because you're hitting everything. LeBron just passing, everyone hitting it. LeBron passed to Kevin Love. Kevin Love hitting a three. Everyone is feeling good. But now here comes Boston. Boston is a team that's not going to stop coming at you. And so they're coming at them. They're coming at you. Well, now it's the second half. And all those threes that fell in the first half, they're not falling. But Cleveland didn't change their game plan. They didn't start going inside. They kept shooting the threes. So now Boston's getting closer and closer. And those threes that they were throwing into the ocean, they're now throwing into an old-school pop bottle top. And they're not changing their plans. They're not deviating. They're not saying, these threes aren't working for us. Maybe we should start taking some, I don't know, mid-range jump shots. Or maybe we should start taking it to the hoop. LeBron's not in any type of flow because for the first half, all he had to do was dish, turn around, run down to the other side. So now he can't get in rhythm. The team's out of rhythm. They're not hitting shots. Nothing is going right for them. And Boston's still coming. And what did their coach say before one of the timeouts? Hey, if we get close, they'll let us back in. And we know they'll let you back in. Hell, they blew a 26-point lead during the regular season to the Atlanta Hawks, who we're going to talk about a little bit later. So they just kept coming. And then at the end of the game, tied 108, with about 10 seconds left, Brad Stevens drew up what would have been his third after timeout play. First two worked. Why wouldn't the third one? It's a beautiful play. Now, we know you're allegedly supposed to switch everything at the end of a game during picks if you're guarding someone who's roughly the same size as you and the person that's going to be tied into the play is roughly the same size as the person that they're going to be picking for. So basically, if you have two guards out there with two guards, you switch. Here's the problem. After the pick, Avery Bradley didn't rub to the corner. He didn't rub around. Instead, he curled back up to the three-point line. Well, when he froze, and his pick setter dove to the rim, guess what Cleveland did? Both the defenders dove to the rim with him. And then the high pick that was set up top by Al Horford on the pick, but hell, that wasn't even necessary at that point. Avery Bradley was so wide open, he took the shot, bounced around, got the shooter's touch on it, fell through with a tenth of a second. We all know you can't get a three-pointer off in a tenth of a second. Game is over. Now, here's what I find funny, though. It was a great play, but defensively, Cleveland fell asleep. And here's the whole thing. Cleveland has been falling asleep defensively for this entire season. Don't think that was the first time Cleveland fell asleep. They've fallen asleep before. That's why they were one of the worst defensive teams in the league this year. And when you have those bad habits and they've developed over an 82-game season, they don't just automatically go away. Yeah, the switch can come on the offensive side, but the switch don't go on and off on the defensive side. Either you're playing good defense or you're not playing good defense. And they were not playing good defense. And they haven't played good defense. Cleveland has outscored everyone. But their defense hasn't had to be stellar for that to happen. Now, you got the greatest player in the game right now. You got Kyrie Irving, one of the best closers in the game right now, all-star in his own, right? Same with Kevin Love. Kevin Love, probably one of the best shooting and definitely the best outlet passing big man in the game. So it's hard to keep up with them because other teams don't have the firepower that they have. J.R. Smith is probably the best hard shot maker in the league right now since Kobe Bryant has retired. But those habits that they've built up defensively, or rather the lack of good habits they've built up defensively through the season, will come back and bite you. Now, before everyone in Cleveland likes to do when they get a little, you know, oh, Lord, the sky has fallen, they lost one game to a team without their best player, and Cleveland is now woke. They are woke. W-O-K-E. Believe me, Cleveland will win the next game. But back to this game. Now, everyone in Cleveland is forgetting this team started the NBA playoffs 10-0. Did you really think they weren't going to lose a game? I mean, I didn't think they'd lose a game in the first round, but in the second round, I didn't know they had punked Toronto so bad that Toronto couldn't get a game. Now, the last two games, Kyle Lowry didn't even play. But you can't tell me that talent-wise, Toronto wasn't good enough to get at least a game or two against Cleveland. And Boston is doing it on defense and guys hitting shots that don't ever hit shots in one game. Marcus Smart is not going to hit that many threes again. Trust me. You know, you got LeBron pissed off at the podium after the game. You got Tristan Thompson. Once LeBron gets pissed off, he's not going to say anything. Brian Windhorst from the Four Letter is saying how a guy, you know, how LeBron asked the guy, what has he done? A fan, a heckling fan. And the best part is the guy is rattling off his college stats and where he went to school at. That's hilarious. Excuse me. So Cleveland, relax. LeBron James had a bad game. Relax. You know, no one wants to remember history. Michael had bad games. Yeah, maybe he didn't score 11 points, but Mike had a bad game. Kobe's had a bad game. Durant has had a bad game. Malone, Barkley, they've all had bad games. The Dream has had a bad game. So don't be fooled that they're going to lose the series. They lost one game. What they need to be worried about, and what they really need to refocus on, is their defense and making sure that they're invested fully and being tied in every single trip down the floor. You know, I watched Golden State against San Antonio the other night, and Golden State, I want to say, had two or three possessions in a row where they turned the ball over. And I don't think San Antonio scored until the last turnover, and then Golden State came right down and hit another bucket. So basically, the turnover didn't hurt them at all. Because even if they turn the ball over, the one thing they are, they're the second-best defensive team in the league. You don't necessarily score when they turn the ball over. Cleveland is a terrible defensive team. So when you turn the ball over, the opposition usually scores. But I think it's funny how the sky has fallen. The sky hasn't fallen. As Aaron Rodgers once said, relax. Don't worry. And I'm going to say the same thing to Cleveland. Relax. Don't worry. It's all good. See, you have to coddle. You got to talk to fans in Cleveland like that, because the city isn't really used to winning anything. So when something goes wrong, they get a little nervous. You don't have to be nervous. You guys got this. You got to be playing Golden State next week. So relax. It's okay. Got to call them a little bit. Cleveland, it's all right. It'll be okay. LeBron can't have another game like that, or we'll lose. LeBron will not have another game like that. We wasted a Kevin Love performance. No, you didn't waste it. Because if he's not hitting threes like that, the game is closer anyway. Now we got a big deal. You beat them twice in Boston by 250 points combined. You had a bad night. Then we get the analytical people. Oh, my God. Every time analytical people start talking as this is the definite or this is what we're looking at and we crunched all the numbers, I really just want to take some cyanide. It drives me absolutely bananas. Give me the cyanide. As soon as they start speaking, well, a lot of it has to do with LeBron. He looked real fatigued. And what we did was we crunched all the numbers and we showed the amount of minutes he played in the first two games. But then on the third game, with only one day to rest in between each game, it's a 79.867643 chance that you're a little bit more fatigued than if you go two nights before the third game, which would only make you 15% more fatigued based on the shots that you were taking. Shut the hell up. He had a bad game. Analytical people. He took how many more games do you want him to take off in the regular season to be rested for this point? They had not played a game in 10 days. 10 days without a game. How much more rest would he need? How much more rest, analytical people, would be required for him to take? He had a bad game. Analytics is not involved in everything. This crazy thing used to happen. Crazy. Check this out. This is wild. Would you believe teams used to win NBA titles and their stars played 82 minutes or 82 games over 30 minutes a night? And here's a crazy part. This is way out there. I'm out. As they would say in England, I'm out of my tree for this one. They played all their playoff minutes. And if you don't tell anyone, I'll let you know. Sometimes they even played more minutes in their playoff stretches than they did in the regular season games. APLR, listen, man, times were different back then. They didn't play in the Olympics. They didn't have the same obligations. You're right. They didn't play in the Olympics. That comes around every 4 years. They didn't play in the World Championship games. They come around every 2 years. Hey, but PLR, just think of how long their career would have lasted if they would have rested more, and then how fresher they would have been for the playoffs. Huh. So this is the complaint, right? These playoffs are terrible because there's only two good teams. Huh. These are your two good teams, Golden State and Cleveland. Their players rested. Didn't change the underling games. All we hear is griping and moaning. Oh, this playoff's so boring. Everything is a blowout. Huh. I wonder if that would have been different if maybe the guys that rested didn't have to play against the guys that did. Or just rest everybody. Or maybe if everyone played the same amount of games, I don't know, 82 of them, everyone would be equally fatigued. Maybe that's what happened. But these guys' careers last longer. Yeah, you're right. That Kareem, boy, it's a good thing he got out so early. Yeah, no, man. Paul, stop talking about Kareem because he's an anomaly. You're right. Freaking Karl Malone, John Stockton, Michael Jordan. Paul Michael Jordan took 2 years off in between. He still played the rest of his games. I mean, I keep going. Adrian Dantley, Artis Gilmore. Funny how they had these long careers with no rest. Before, you know, obviously Pop the Great Rester came along. LeBron is one of the best conditioned, well-tuned players in the NBA today. Playing three games. Game, rest, game. If that makes him that tired, what is the excuse for every other player with energy that was out there? Because they played the games. No one sat out. No one was on a minute restriction. I'm tired of this. Analytics are great. They have a place in basketball. They have a place right now in all sports. But when it comes to basketball, eye, ear, and smell tests still work the best because you got to see it. You got to be able to feel it. And when I say smell test, yes, smell if that guy has any heart and courage. And if he doesn't, you get him out. I'm tired of this being the fallback to everything when it comes to a loss. LeBron James didn't have it one night, and his team lost. It's that simple. There's no analytical breakdown. None. Zero. Just nothing. And as I continue on this rant about analytics, listen, again, there's a spot for it. But you didn't, no one was talking fatigue with Kevin Love in the first half. No one was talking fatigue with Marcus Smart. If LeBron had the same terrible game and Cleveland held that lead and won the game, we wouldn't be talking about, whoa, wow, LeBron had to play. No, no, man, no. And I don't want to come off because, as everyone knows, I'm usually on the side of the player. But this time, no, everything is not blamed on fatigue. Everything isn't blamed on being tired, running out of gas. That is not the case. The man had a bad game. They will win game four. They will win game five. They will play Golden State in the finals. It's ridiculous. Hell, it's crazy. It's ludicrous. Analytics, please stop creeping into every single thing. Then stop. Next segment brought to you by, the one and only Tzatziki Pita Grill, located on Priest B, Arizona. Fresh tzatziki sauce made. Make sure you get in there for your brunch, your lunch, your dinner, your pre-dinner, your post-dinner, your dinner. Place is absolutely awesome. Everything made fresh daily. Again, it's the Tzatziki Pita Grill, located on Priest and Elliot, right next door to the T-Mobile store. Get it in there. Let them know that PLR sent you down. They'll take 10% off any meal that you get. And if you have time, stop next door over at Nara's Hookah Lounge and go ahead and hook yourself up with a hookah for the day. In the Western Conference, we have San Antonio versus Golden State. Golden State's up 3-0. They took control of the game the other night with Kevin Durant basically coming to play. And when you have a 7-foot guy who plays a small forward with the dribbling ability, he is hard to stop once he gets it going. Basically, he got it going. He wasn't hard to stop. He was impossible to stop. That series is over. Kawhi Leonard sat out game 3 with his injury. Pop, there's no need to play Kawhi Leonard anymore this series. He is not going to be 100%. He's not going to be 110%. He's not going to be 99%. He's not going to be anywhere in that equation. And you honestly can't think for a minute, and I don't care how much you want to believe in your team, that they can win 4 out of 5 games from the Warriors. It's just not going to happen. So get ready for next season. Let the ankle heal. Ankles do not heal overnight. They can feel better, but the ligament is weak. And so until that actually has a chance to strengthen itself back up, another ankle injury is on the way. It's on the horizon. You're very susceptible to getting another one. I mean, they don't stand a chance. Listen, let's just be honest. San Antonio does not stand a chance with Kawhi. But let's just say Kawhi plays. Let's say they win tonight. You really think they're going to go back to Golden State and win 2 more times? I don't. I don't think Golden State's had lost four games in a row since Gary St. Jean decided to call games instead of coach them. There was a play in the game where Dedmon, big man for the Spurs, set a back pick on Steph Curry. Curry said, you know, he obviously doesn't want to ruin anybody's reputation, but that was a dirty play. Now, I watched this a couple different times. Here's why I think it's a dirty play, but I don't think it was a on-purpose dirty play. You ever been walking down the street or walking at school or walking at work, hopefully not at work, and someone comes up behind you and they put their knee or their leg or whatever behind your knee so your leg buckles a little bit? And no matter what, that always pisses everyone off because someone did that to me one time on a knee that I had surgery on. Playing basketball, I had, you know, I tore my MCL and sprained my ACL, and PCL wasn't all that great, but it holds up. I mean, it's not like falling apart. I'm not in pain every day, but someone walked up to me one time and did that, but on that knee, and I was hot. I was like, I've had surgery on this knee. You can't do that. So to me, that's what the pick was. It was a good high pick, but that knee bumped into Curry's knee, and it was behind where you kind of buckle, and Curry lost his balance and fell. So here's my question, because I don't think it was a dirty play, and even though Steph said that, I don't think it was a dirty play. I think it's aiming towards someone, and I'm going to echo that. Pop, you came out last week when Zsa Zsa Pachulia did a two-step closeout, which we all know you can't do. And Kawhi sprained his ankle for the first time during game one and was never really able to get right as he sprained it for good later on in the third quarter of that game. And you talked about the dirty play of Zsa Zsa and what he's done in the past and blah, 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 and yeah, 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 and all this. And by the way, this guy now has to have extra security to get his kids to and from school and then leave the security guards at school because of so many threats that he's getting. But you can do all that nonsense, screaming about someone else. You weren't screaming when LaMarcus Aldridge did in game two, Steph Curry. You weren't arguing and screaming when Dedmon just did it to Steph Curry. Again, but when it happens to your guy, oh, it's a federal offense. It's manslaughter. It's not manslaughter. If that's manslaughter for years, you harbored a known felonous. Felonous word? I don't know if that's a word. Felon. Felonous. You harbored a known felon in your house for years, Bruce Bowen. Bowen went Jackie Chan on someone one time. Bruce Bowen stepped on ankles. He held your arm. He did everything dirty that you could possibly think of. Oh, but Bruce Bowen, he played, you know, that's not dirty. He was just playing hard. Pop, if you're going to call out guys, you know, people gave Draymond Green a hard time for calling out people in Cleveland for being trashy or dirty or what have you. And even though that may be the case, it may not be the case, I don't know. But if you're going to call out guys, you got to look at what you're doing in your own house. Or what you're allowing to go on at your own house. You can't talk about the neighbor's kid who smokes weed, drinks too much, and parties when your kid is the one driving him to the party. And that's what's going on in San Antonio right now. And we could spend a lot of times breaking it down and breaking out what's dirty, what's not dirty, yada, yada, yada. Folks, this series is over. I know you heard me say that with Cleveland, but trust, this series is over tonight. Because you don't know who's going to be hot for the Warriors. And it doesn't matter. Durant was hot in the third quarter. They went to Durant. Hell, these guys have no ego. JaVale McGee had 16 points at the half and led the team in scoring. They don't give a good who gets the points as long as at the end of the game there are more points on their side than there is on the opponent's side. Between Steph, Clay, Draymond, and Durant, off. He was hitting close shots. He was dunking the ball. He was full of energy. Listen, this team does not care. Yes, we technically know that Steph is the star of the team. If you want to say, quote unquote, it's his team, fine. He's a unanimous MVP winner from a season removed ago, and now they have the MVP from a few seasons ago there, and he's extremely hungry. How often is there a two-time MVP winner on a team that's not even the best player on his team? This guy is ridiculous. So now Golden State got JaVale McGee off in the first half. Who are you got? You know they're not going to keep going to him now because you've got to adjust. You double Clay? Can't double Draymond. He doesn't shoot well enough to warrant double-teaming him. But you're going to stop him from passing? You're going to stop KD? You're going to double off and leave KD? You're going to double off and leave Curry? There's no one. Guys, this team is too good. They've covered all the bases, and the best part is they are not selfish. There is no I got to get mine mentality on his team. That is the best part about this team. There is no I got to get mine. That's not how Golden State plays. It's team first. And that's why this team is so successful. We have a caller on the line with us. Caller, what's up? Who's on the line?
How's it going? This is Tom from Los Angeles. How you doing?
Tom, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm literally just tuning in, so not entirely sure of the topic, but if you let me know, I can probably hop in pretty easily.
No problem. We're talking about Golden State and how unselfish they are.
Yeah, I guess it is impressive. I mean, the thing with Golden State is you'd have a hard time finding four either legit superstars. You could argue some of them are borderline stars, and that some of them make each other better, but they just complement each other so well. Like, none of their games really intrude on the other one's game. It's luck, I'd say. They're unselfish because of how their games fit together, and they almost had no period of time where they had to get used to each other, because even the part of them not being used to playing together is just like their games just don't naturally overlap. Like, if you try and compare other teams that have been built like this, you know, you'd have the only one of recent memory, you'd have to look at like the Heat. And though they had, you know, they had Bosch, who basically was turned into the original stretch five in the league, and then Wade and LeBron, who did more or less the same exact thing. So I think it's interesting to see this, but I'm not entirely surprised by it, and that's why it was terrifying when they signed Durant, because they basically replaced Harrison Barnes with a 97 times better version of Harrison Barnes with a similar game. So, like, it's on a team that had just won the most games in the history of the NBA. So, yeah, I mean, LeBron might be able to stop them, but I think it's a long shot. I would not bet on the Cavs to be the Golden State Warriors.
I'm right with you, and I'm taking all bets, of course, not in Arizona where gambling is illegal. But, hey, listen, Tom, I appreciate you calling in. Anytime, give us a call, and
yeah.
I'll get you back to look.
Quick question. What did you think of the draft lottery results?
I think it was quite obvious that the Lakers were going to get one of those top three picks and that the Lakers were not going to fall out of the draft. I think Danny Ainge looks like a genius for holding on to that pick, even though people wanted him to make a trade for it. And Philadelphia, I would love to trust the process. I just want them to win more than 25 games while they're doing it.
Philadelphia, I mean, Hinkie comes out like roses, though. I mean, that guy made, I would argue, because at least Ainge had real players to deal. Hinkie, I mean, when you think of the layers of protection he added in, like, even the people on the stage were confused by Hinkie's moves when the Kings landed the fifth pick, allowing the 76ers to jump up to three, because the Sixers would have dropped to five if it wasn't other moves he flees. I mean, the Lakers, I'll say this. I am a Lakers fan. I did not think that it was obvious that they were going to keep that pick. I know a lot of people say it's rigged. It's definitely not rigged. The odds were strongly against that. And when the Knicks went down to the number 8 pick, my heart sank because I thought the Lakers had fallen out. But they luck out. I think there's some issues with Lonzo Ball's game, and obviously his dad is absolutely insane. But I'd much rather take Lonzo Ball and keep our pick in 2019 than have no player this year. So, but I do think it's interesting. But the Celtics, man, I mean, that's like no one comes out looking better than them. And but I still don't know if they become a championship contender. Like I still don't know who they trade for, who's out there, who's going to sign with them. That turns they're very deep. They'll have a really good regular season, but can they flip all of these assets into two stars? If they do that, then sure. But they're coming out looking really good.
Real quick before you go on the call part, do you think Lonzo Ball is a good fit, and do you have any problems with him coming to your team with his dad, or do you think his dad won't even be a factor?
I mean, his dad, of course, will be a factor in the sense that he says absurd things, and if you say enough absurd things publicly, it's only a matter of time until you piss someone off. So I do think he's going to be a distraction to an extent, but the good thing is that it doesn't seem like this stuff trickles down to Lonzo himself, who's the lost person in all of this, right? So I think that as a Lakers fan, it's one of those things where we breathe a sigh of relief because we keep the pick, and then immediately after we start reading things about how the number one pick is by far and away the better player. And that's happened to us the last 3 years. Except for the Ben Simmons one. But the Russell year, Karl Anthony Towns was by far and away better. I think Ingram actually has a chance to be better than Simmons, but this year it seems like Fultz is the key player. I think Ball is really excellent. I think people that are making the argument that they should draft Fox over him are insane. I think that the fact that Fox can't shoot is like a very legitimate thing. Most people don't learn how to shoot. I think Ball is going to be excellent in the NBA. I think I don't think he's a slam dunk. I think if it wasn't for Ingram and they were just drafting on pure talent alone, I would probably take Josh Jackson too. I think he's might be the better long-term player, but I just don't know if he makes sense. I think the Lakers take Alonzo, and the key here is, like I've said this before, the Lakers don't necessarily need these guys to become superstars, right? If you're the Philadelphia 76ers, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you need your draft picks to become absolute superstars. If you're the Lakers, you can sign for free agents, right? And this has been the most overblown thing the last 4 years, that the Lakers brand doesn't matter anymore, that free agency, you know, people will sign elsewhere. But the fact of the matter is if all things are made equal and there's talent on the team in Oklahoma City and there's talent on the team in L.A., like, who do you think is going to get the player? So the L.A. brand still means something. It's just now the Lakers finally are starting to build a talent base that they can actually sign players or trade for players. So the real key is Lonzo Ball going to be a star? The real key is Lonzo Ball a movable asset to bring the Lakers relevant players right now? Lonzo Ball's a star, great. If he's not, I don't think he's going to be a bust, and you can probably flip him and move him for something else. So to me, that's the advantage of the Lakers. That's why signing Mozgov and Deng last year literally made no sense. Two of the worst moves I've ever seen the team make, because right now they could be sitting at $60 million in cap space with Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, Randall Clarkson, and Larry Nance Jr. as their core, with $60 million in cap space to spend on top of that. Instead, they're sitting at $25 million. And if I were them, honestly, I'd call up the Philadelphia 76ers and I'd offer the number 2 pick and Luol Deng or Mozgov to take one of the contracts for the number 3 pick, because the Sixers need Ball more than the Lakers do. And I'd be happier with Josh Jackson anyways. So if I'm the Lakers, that's what I do. But it sucks that they sign contracts that you have to attach assets to get rid of. And you knew that you'd have to do that the second those guys were signed.
Very true. I will give you an explanation for that shortly. But, hey, listen, I thank you for calling in. And please continue to check us out.
Appreciate it.
All right, Tom, take care.
Bye.
Tom from L.A. So, listen, here's the reason why L.A. had to quickly, I'll go through this. They had to sign those guys, and here's why. There is a floor minimum in basketball. So by signing Deng and by signing Mozgov to what seemed like ridiculous contracts brought them up to the floor level. So you have to have, if you have a salary cap in baseball, you can't be so far, basketball, you can't be so far under the cap that you're not equaling the other teams. So, yes, they still have wiggle room. Now, here's what they can do. Because they know they're really not going to attract a big free agent this summer. I don't think this is the way Magic is attempting to grow right now. Anyway, the team. So what they'll do is they'll hold on to them one more year if they need to, which puts them into the second year of their contracts. If they cut both those players or one of those players, however it goes, if they can't trade them, you are now actually allowing that contract to be spread out over X amount of years. So instead of it being, say, a $12 million hit, and they spread it out over 3 years, it's now a $3 million hit each year, which then gives you contract flexibility against your cap down the line. So, and that $3 million also still can count against your floor minimum. So you're still going to have that space filled. Now, does it hurt? Yeah, if you're a really good team, you need to go out and get someone. It does, but it doesn't really hurt this team for where they are right now, because if they do get good, say they get good in the next year or two, they're still not going to be good enough to catch a team like a Golden State or a Golden State Warriors or a San Antonio Spurs or a Houston, the Houston Rockets. These teams are already above where they're going to get over the next couple years. And then if a free agent really wants to come to you over the next year or two, and you really have no flexibility, even with the $3 or $4 million after you release these guys, there's always a player on your team whose rights you can renounce. So the Lakers had to do that. I don't honestly think they were trying to deceive anyone by making them think that these players were going to be anything other than assets for what they needed to do on the business side of the salary cap. So, okay, quick bits of news I want to get to before we get out of here. It looks like Paul Millsap will not exercise his option, and he will become a free agent this summer. It's just happened, so I haven't had an opportunity to put together some teams that I think he would be a good fit for. So I want to get into that a little bit later on this week. Also want to get into a little bit later on this week talking about two guys who have some talent, obviously. One is injured, one is not, but I wonder where you think they'll land. Reggie Jackson obviously isn't working in Detroit. Reggie Jackson didn't work in Oklahoma City, so there's got to be a team out there that Reggie Jackson will work for. At this point, Reggie Jackson may have to look in the mirror and say, Reggie Jackson might be the problem here. Derrick Rose, another guy, unfortunately coming off yet another knee injury. You talk about something happening at the absolute wrong time. Here's a guy who thought he should have been maxed. Some damn fool team probably would have given him close to that. But he tore his knee up with about 7 games left in the season, so you know he's not going to get a max contract. I'm curious to find out what team Derrick Rose thinks that he can help. And also, Derrick Rose now has to say to himself, I may not be that centerpiece of a team, and mentally accept that and go be a backup and go really help a good team get better. And a person that comes to mind is Ron Harper. Ron Harper was an all-star and a star in Cleveland for years. Knees failed him later in his career, but he was able to get himself back into good playing condition and ended up turning around and winning 4 titles, 3 with the Bulls, another one with the Lakers, or 2 with the Lakers, excuse me. So here's a guy who realized, I'm no longer a star, but I still know how to play this game. Let me go help a team. And that's what he did. Maybe it's time for Derrick Rose to try to be more Ron Harper than Russell Westbrook. Just saying. A lot of draft stuff will be trickling out very soon. I will, as usual, be at a lot of the Suns pre-draft camps, so we're waiting for that. We'll have news about Summer League in Vegas. As you know, we'll be at that as well. So we'll have some stuff coming up as we get closer to all these things. Tonight, I say the Warriors win this game. I think it'll be a little tighter. Maybe they won't win by 70 points. They should probably only win by 8 or 9. But still, I think you'll get a better game tonight. San Antonio with their backs against the wall, I just don't think they have enough talent. LaMarcus Aldridge may play better. Look for him. Honestly, don't be surprised if he gets moved before next season. He just does not fit with San Antonio and what they want to do. So look for that. But Golden State, prepare to rest. They always talk about going on vacation. You guys will probably be on vacation next week, still get back, and still have 5 days before the finals begin. This was fun. Got to fill in. Usually you don't get courtside on a Monday, but you did today. Man, Ryan, who does UFC versus Fantasy Sports under the weather. So, got a special edition of courtside. He'll be back with you this week, though. It's NBA playoffs. They act in a fool. We will have all the updates. Keep it right here on the Sports Cave channel. Cave show tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Make sure you don't miss that. We'll have some other sports news to get into. Make sure if you have a child near a sea lion that you keep them off ledges. Sea lions, obviously, like kids, if you don't know what I'm talking about. We're going to put that video up on our Twitter page. And, of course, you can get us at the Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, and a Facebook fan page. For all your articles and everything coming up, go to thesportscave.com. The show will be loaded up there later on tonight. And you can always reach me directly at PLR. So until next time, this has been PLR. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a good week. We will